Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border. Well, as you know from yesterday, I'm in Odessa, and it's pretty nice here. Apparently, there was an airstrike last night, with air sirens and everything, during the curfew hours, which, by the way, are from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m., but we were so tired after our trip that, honestly speaking, we just fell asleep. That was pretty hard, to be honest, after all this situation. Today, as we were approaching home, apparently there was a bit of another airstrike somewhere. An airplane flew over and dropped something. Well, we couldn't hear the airplane, but the boom was audible. And just an hour ago, again, a bunch of air sirens. But I can assure you that Odessa will definitely not fall. People here are made out of something different. This place is special. They call their city Mother, and it's for a good reason, since they have, well, dark comedy on posters in the walls, together with patriotic slogans and a lot of calls in preparation. If the Russian Marines step out here, they'll see a lot of posters about how they should, instead of fighting, just sell their own vehicles for 5 million rubles, which is about $10,000. Place is beautiful, though. Quite summery and nice, and, well, there's a giant book market, which is amazing, and then there is also, of course, the Central Park, where is the monument to Osta Benda. Well, it's the 12th chair over there, and I went there, and that was my dream for a long while already. Felt really nice, too. In the meantime, well, our accreditation is going through. We sent all the required documents. I can give you some valuable information about this, because if anyone claims that they are even somewhere near where the action is happening, and, you know, they've seen something personally, then know that they must have a photo of their passport and their journalist associations or trade unions or whatever press card, and also some letters from their editor-in-chief. Definitely, if someone claims that they're close and they can't readily provide their press card, then they're probably lying, because everyone should have them by now. Card payments, you know, like your bank cards, they don't work in a lot of places. In a lot of places, they just ask you to pay either in cash or via transfer to card. Apparently, you need to have a Ukrainian app for that, and my Latvian, although it's international, Visa doesn't apply there. They, even in restaurants, a lot of these people don't have little machines where you can just beep. A lot of places do, but some don't. And, well, of course, there are cops anywhere and everywhere, and there are places in town where you can't go if you're not a local or don't have a very special permit, which I certainly don't have, even though I'm registered and everything's fine. C is, once again, although I've received a bunch of questions about this, C is a military object. You can't go near the sea. Although the sea's everywhere here. People are still going out and opening their small businesses. One thing that Odessa is definitely known for is, well, their kind of attitude of, well, war is happening. Yeah, and then what? There are tons of small stores in the park and around the streets. Way more than we have in Riga. Just a lot of people just go out to the parks and whatever, and they just sell you coffee from the back of their car. That's kind of amazing, because, well, they just try to keep themselves going. And the coffee is really good as well. Of course, you always have to pay in cash, but still. One thing that's very Odessa-like is that, well, if you wink hard enough, then, as again, we couldn't find an ATM properly. It took us a long time. And a lot of ATMs actually just don't have money in them. Well, they accepted our euros, which I thought was a nice gesture. And the police are all super friendly, and they show me around town and give directions. So a bunch of military stuff happening here as well today. Although I'm not sure that this will go into this podcast. I believe that any direct things that are happening will have to be delayed a bit. You know, a day or two maybe, because, well, for one, sorry guys, nice people from the correct organizations. Yeah, giving up Ukrainian army movements and positions would be a terrible thing to do. Same as I can't take pictures in a blog post or whatever, but you know, those things will pass. We have plans, and we're waiting for our Ministry of Defense authorization to go through. Once it does, then I'll have more direct info. But people are, you know, interesting, since I asked them about what do they think when the war will end, then I got laughter in return. And then I asked them, well, when do you think Kherson will be retaken, and will we be able to go there? And then again, everyone just laughed at me and said, well, who knows? This war might last forever. Are we supposed to, like, lose our lives over this? Again, very Odessa-like humor. But you can't really take Odessa out of people. This is a special place. I like it here. Of course, you know, hearing the air sirens all the time is a bit daunting. But hey, you know, again, with some laughter, you can pull through. I can't clearly understand and see how these people have managed to do everything as they have survived all this time. And definitely, you know, everyone's brave, and oh boy, there are old ladies here who are braver than a lot of men that I know who've remained in Latvia. Definitely braver than me, and hey, I've traveled here, but you know, they live here, so that's a whole another level of being brave. But yeah, that's enough about Odessa's daily life, because it still continues. People aren't scared. People are just, you know, a bit more sticking to the rules than usual, which isn't saying that much, since, well, you kind of have to. It's a special time. However, we still have some pretty big and pretty interesting news happening, and although I'd like to talk about it some more, we really have to switch over, because the important part about all this is going to happen later. I plan on making a whole episode about the Odessa jokes after all, and I will also, upon request from my listener, make you an special episode about how the Russian Orthodox Church use all of this, and what's the, well, you know, what's kind of their answer to the happenings. First of all, the really big news of today was the fact that the rocket strike hit Kramatorsk railway station. Russia, of course, denies carrying out the attack, stating that the rocket that hit the station was a Ukrainian one, obviously. But we have over 100 wounded people and more than 30 people dead, and local hospitals can't even deal with all the situation. The basically railway station was full with thousands of civilians when it was hit. It was people trying to evacuate, and it was in the Donetsk region, you know, where the war is, and they were just following orders to just leave the area, because Ukrainian government has called for people to leave. And Kremlin obviously denies this, but that was a big hit, because they had stated that they won't do such attacks, and this was a clear attempt at evacuation. And now we don't really know any particular details of this whole mess, but we're gonna have some bit more things. But this is something to be expected from Russia. They always try to cheat you, in the sense that, again, listen to my episode a long time ago about Ponyatia and the prison laws. If they specifically state, oh no, make an evacuation corridor, then yeah, you know, they probably will hit that. That's what they do. That's a nice way how to, for them to cause panic. Especially after, you know, if you take this into the context with the news that I mentioned yesterday about how Germans had overtaken and captured phone conversations, which had openly stated that they have a battle plan of intimidation of civilians, then, you know, it's quite likely that this is also a part of it. And obviously, well, this has been dark hour, and Zelensky has already stated that someone will definitely, well, this is just going to be added to the list. One thing that I'm afraid of is that this list of Russian war crimes can grow so large that it'll be hard after the event is over to even take account of all of this. And secondly, one point they might start thinking that, hey, you know, we're done so much bad stuff that what's the point of holding back at any point? Like, if the generals will start to think that, well, we're losing either way, and we're getting damaged, well, what'll be their consideration of not doing these things anymore? And you know, there's a good chance that they might, because, for example, this is from Russia today. In Gosduma, they added a project there about the nationalization of the property of the citizens of the unfriendly nations, And, you know, according to statistics data, if you live in a country where you can drink tap water, you're basically living in an unfriendly nation, because we're all unfriendly, me included. And they want to confiscate in Russia all property such as, quote, movable and real estate. Any monetary, any finances, any money, any stocks, any money that they held in the banks, corporative rights, and other properties or actives, who are in some way either directly or indirectly tied to persons who have been affiliated with foreign states or persons who have been stated to be unfriendly to us. It's a bunch of lawyer language, but basically, if someone of you who is some in any way or form tied to someone from an unfriendly nation, then you just might lose your property. At the same time, ruble's official course is still kind of an interesting position. It was like 75 rubles per dollar and 80 rubles per euro. However, everyone just keeps laughing at this because, yeah, sure, there's this exchange rate. However, well, you can't buy rubles or euros in Russia. That's the joke. It's basically they have the rubles and euros by a set rate, but, well, it, again, let me remind you, is illegal to make such transactions inside Russia. And still, all this mess is continuing because also in Russia, their own local search engine and big media company Yandex have now started to mark all the resources of Google as basically, well, anything tied to Google as not observing the laws of the Russian Federation, according to the demands of Roskomnadzor, which is just amazing. They fought against Meta, or, well, Facebook and all that stuff. Now they're coming for Google. And this probably means that finally the day will come where YouTube will finally be turned off for Russians. This had been, you know, speculated about for a long while. I also heard rumors that it should have happened already by Wednesday or Monday even. But YouTube is also so big that this would cause a massive backlash inside of Russia, because, well, after Instagram, YouTube, with its 67 million users out of 147 million people in Russia, that was one of the biggest resources out there. And, well, as it's tied to Google, and, well, it'll definitely go away. It seems so, definitely. And I guess everyone's just going to have to move to Telegram, which a lot of people already have. At the very same time, paper shortages in Russia are also growing worse. Currently, there are discussions in Gosduma, well, besides all the confiscation, about the fact that maybe their centralized exams should be completely cancelled because they have an utter lack of office paper. They just can't print the exams on which the kids will then be able to write. It's just a bit crazy. But all of this is just going into the background. People are here, at least in Odessa, they're living their lives and trying to pull through. And yeah, in the evenings it gets scary, you know, with the air raid sirens and everything. But during the day there's this veneer of normalcy. Although it is just a veneer, because I think that people are actually, you know, suffering and things are pretty bad. However, I do have to state that I've heard some information as I was Googling this one up, the fact that most shops are closed, the sales of alcohol is prohibited, fuel is rationed, and cash withdrawals are limited. This was reported by Moldovan News. I have to state that the sale of alcohol is not prohibited, it's just limited from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Most shops are closed, definitely not. There are a lot of closed cafes, but shops, vast majority of them are opened. I think more shops actually had closed since COVID, and those that were hit with COVID and then with the war, those are closed. Fuel is rationed. Don't think so. People who were gunning home to make it to the curfew hour, they were gunning on the street with super high speeds, and that burns a lot of fuel, and people have big cars. Cash withdrawals are limited, yeah, to 200 banknotes, which is a lot of money. They are limited from basically some point, but I don't think it's as bad. However, there is a feel that the city is preparing for a siege, because there are those blockposts everywhere, and there are, you know, all these tank traps. tank traps, by the way, and also a lot of signs are just filtered out and spray painted over, and a lot of those tank traps also still say funny jokes on them, like "Иди нахуй, Путин" and stuff like that. So, city is preparing for a siege, but it's doing it in a Odessa way, kind of special. That's about it for today, because, well, it's a bit more difficult to report straight from front lines, but I'm trying my best. Thank you for listening, and I'll keep you updated on any news whatsoever, and of course, on the most important events. Happiness is mandatory. До свидания, товарищи. And thank you to all of you who support our show. Please do it via our Patreon on patreon.com/theeasternborder, or just click the donate button on the easternborder.lv website. And of course, donate to Ukrainian army and Ukrainian people. Take care of refugees, those who have them with you. And be nice to each other. You know, Odessa has taught me one thing. You kind of have to make dark jokes and keep up optimism about everything. Worst case is the fact that, well, in fact, also happiness indeed is mandatory. You can be afraid, you can be angry, but hey, if they break you, then they win. That's the point. I am kind of getting a bit of that light inside of me back again. I'm happy for that. До свидания, товарищи.